All right, let's welcome everybody out to a brand new episode of Let's Talk Local. I'm your host, Chris Hollifield, and I apologize. I'm losing my voice a little bit. You know, that tends to happen this time of year as I notice when I go to record podcasts, my voice gets a little more cracked up, or sometimes I lose it this time of year. So if you've been listening to the podcast over the last few years, probably about February or March for some reason, you'll be like, oh yeah, it's that time of year Chris loses his voice. So anyway, here I am, brand new episode of Let's Talk Local. Got a great show for you guys today. But before we get into who's on this episode and all the logistics of this episode, I want to run down a little bit who the sponsor is on this episode and a little bit about the podcast. Of course, the sponsor of this episode is my real estate team, the Red Sign Real Estate Team. And if you are looking to move to Utah, or maybe you're looking to downsize or upsize, give me a call, shoot me a text. My number is 801-244-2908. I'd love to answer any real estate questions for you, or help you out. Hey, is it a good time to buy or sell? I'd love to chat with you about that. But like I said, on this week's episode, I got a really fun guest. On this week's episode, Jeff, the ice cream guy, he is sitting here in the studio.
Happy to be here, Chris.
I'm happy to have you. We're going to be talking ice cream and all things sweet and creamy and maybe not creamy. You know, I found out you have some non-dairy ice cream.
We do.
So we're going to be getting into all of that and finding out a little bit about your story, Jeff. So thank you for joining Let's Talk Local in here in the studio. We have our Patreon people watching the video stream. So if you want to see the video, join the Patreon and you could see that. But Jeff, the ice cream guy. I like that, actually. Before I sat down here, I was like, Jeff, what's your last name? You're like, I'm the ice cream guy.
Right? I mean, everyone can remember Jeff, the ice cream guy. But pardon me. You know, as I was saying, there's, you know, 20 Jeffs in everyone's phone, but there's only one Jeff, the ice cream guy. So
tell me about this. I mean, what made you want to get into ice cream, and what's the story behind Hidden Oak Gourmet Creamery?
Yeah, definitely. So started the company just October in 2022.
Okay.
But before that, I've been making ice cream for about 8 years now. And every time we go on vacation with the family, every time we go do something, there's always some sort of ice cream component. And pardon me, I wasn't a fan of what ice cream was on the shelves at the grocery store. So I wanted to make ice cream just for family get-togethers, just for fun. I love to cook. I love to be in the kitchen. So started making ice cream about 8 years ago, and you know, would make things like strawberry basil, which is one of our featured ice creams, one of our main ones. I would make lavender blueberry, and I would make things that you just wouldn't find.
So really like kind of specialty, exotic flavors.
Definitely. Yeah. I make, none of my flavors are on the shelf in the grocery store. You know, when I started making ice cream, I didn't even want to make a vanilla. And
no chocolate chip
no cookies and cream, you know, all those that are already on the shelf. I didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Pardon me. So I just love playing with ice cream, loved just experiencing something different.
And where did that come from though? Sorry to interrupt you there though.
No, I want to
touch on that ice cream a little bit more though. You've always been making it. Like, why ice cream? Like, why not? Like, why aren't you the sourdough bread guy or you know what I mean? Or cookies or something like that. Why ice cream?
Well, I mean, cookies is so overrun in the state of Utah right now.
You
don't want to enter that market. But ice cream is something that, I mean, one, I have a passion for ice cream. I love ice cream, but
I love it.
Yeah. But also in like what can be a business. It was looking at ice cream is a high barrier to entry.
Yeah.
You know, no one else is going to go make ice cream. No one can buy a commercial ice cream maker, just, you know, offhanded, let's go buy an ice cream maker. You know, there's equipment, there's things, everything that I could do makes it hard for others to join in the industry and jump in and make ice cream. So I knew that it would be something that other people couldn't just copy and run with.
Okay.
And, you know, I can make a strawberry basil ice cream, but then for someone else to copy that flavor is hard. For someone else to copy that experience, I mean, our ice cream is the only super premium ice cream that I know of that's being produced in the state of Utah.
Yeah, I don't know any other ice cream makers off the top of my head.
Right. I mean, so Snellgroves is, true, you know, down in St. George.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they've made us come back, which is great. And I welcome any competition in the market, but I, you know, to stand out and be something different, you, I mean, I could make a cheese sauce, I could make a sourdough, I could make a sandwich, I can make all these things, but there's so much going on in the markets of all of those different pieces that I needed an industry that I could stand out in.
So you kind of had the thought in your head, like, I want to create a business here. Like,
well,
when you were trying to kind of, you were trying to come up with a business, yeah. It sounded like back in 2022 or 2021.
Well, yeah. When COVID hit 2020, I was a regional manager for hotels, and then COVID hit and, you know, no one was traveling. So when I was furloughed from that job, I went, okay, what's the next opportunity that I need to look into?
Interesting.
So
out of necessity, kind of.
Yeah. Out of necessity, I started to evaluate what could I do? And I've always loved, I mean, I stole a whole bunch of candy from my mom back in.
Sorry, mom.
When I was, she made me pay her back.
Oh, so she knows.
When I was seven, I stole a whole bunch of candy from her and I like went and sold it to my friends. Like, I was an entrepreneur from the get-go.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, and I made a whole bunch of money and I came back so excited. And my mom's like, you need to pay me. You know, this is where you learn about food cost. So at like seven, I was learning about food cost. But I always wanted to create my own thing and do my own individual
experience. Be your own boss.
Yeah. And in the hotel world, I enjoyed what I was doing, but I was never my own boss.
Sure.
You know, I always joked that I had three bosses because there was three different entities always looking at me, whether it was the owner, the franchisee, the, you know, so much looking down at what I was doing, and I wanted to just go do my own thing. So it was kind of fortuitous that COVID hit and now I'm able to go start my own endeavor.
Yeah. So COVID hits, you kind of, you lose your job at the hotels.
Yeah.
And then that's when you're kind of like, I need to create my own business, do some ice cream.
Yeah.
Now before the ice cream, did you try to do any other businesses prior to that?
Well, I mean,
it's okay to mention that.
Right. Yeah.
If you failed.
Right. No, I mean, I started a hotel management company with a partner. I mean, that was the business I had.
Okay. So that was your business. That was, you weren't working for like a big chain or something.
Right.
Like that.
So
okay.
Yeah, I worked for a company that, you know, I managed the hotels that were owned by that company. And,
gotcha.
You know, so it was very enjoyable. But yeah, COVID put an end to that. So I wanted, instead of having partners, I wanted to do my own individual thing at that point.
Well, this must be completely different then, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Like everything must be different.
Oh, yeah, very much. I mean, I took 1,000 square feet of my basement. We converted that into a commercial kitchen. So I'm a Department of Agriculture licensed commercial kitchen. But yeah, my commute to work is, you know, just down 13 stairs and off we go.
So what kind of obstacles were you facing like in the very beginning, man? Back in the very start of this whole thing, like, I mean, actually let's even back up there. I want to touch that again, but what did your family and friends think of this when they found out you were going to start making ice cream in your basement?
I started making ice cream. It was in the dining room.
Okay.
I started making ice cream in the dining room before
the basement.
We moved down to the basement. And I think, what one member of the family, basically she was like, oh, okay. That's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But trying to be nice, but still kind of I don't believe in you.
Later, like 6 months later, she was like, yeah, I thought you were totally crazy when you said this. Okay, makes sense. But I mean, yeah, there were a lot of obstacles starting out. And one, there's no place for ice cream in the Department of Agriculture. There's cottage food that you can do. There's home-based business food that you can do through Department of Agriculture, but none of it is licensed for ice cream.
Interesting. So tell me more about that. None of it's licensed for ice cream. So,
like, if you wanted to go make a soap business.
Sure, sure.
Or a sourdough business, you know.
I could do that.
You could go do that under a cottage food. And, like, you could even sell your stuff at Harmon's under this Cottage Food Act.
But why couldn't ice cream go into that same?
Because it's
cold.
It's dairy, right? It's cold. You can't. No, it's because it's dairy. And there's a dairy stipulation that because it has to be, like, we send our dairy off to get tested once a month.
Interesting.
And, you know, it's so regulated that you can't sell dairy-based products except cheese.
What about dairy-free ice cream?
You could do dairy-free ice cream, but unless you put eggs in it, which we put eggs as our emulsifier in all of our ice cream right now. So you can't do – I'm not sure about eggs now that you say that. But you can't do a dairy-based business under – the Homemade Food Act.
So what did you do? I mean, tell me about this. How did you overcome this?
So basically we had to put some signage on all of our ice cream that said, you know, this is not licensed under anything.
This is not ice cream.
This is not ice cream. And so, you know, it culminated. We went up and we were selling up at the ResFest up in Ogden.
Okay.
And it's a 4-weekend event. And we did the first weekend and we told them, we said, you know, we're a Department of Ag homemade food business and we're not licensed to resell any food.
You told the Ogden people.
Told the Ogden people.
Okay.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said, okay, great. And I even told the Department of Agriculture, I was like, hey, we're going up here to do this thing. And then the Department of Health shows up at the ResFest.
Ooh.
And they're like, well, you can't be here. So we actually got kicked out of the ResFest because of how this whole...
Because you weren't licensed or something?
Right.
Yeah. If you don't mind me asking.
Oh, no, totally. I mean, it's out there. Yeah. We were not officially licensed under the Department of Agriculture. They just said, you know...
But you thought you were. Sort of.
Right? It's the Department of Agriculture said, yes, you can do this. But then later they're like, well, if it would have been a farmer's market that was Department of Ag licensed, then you could have done it. But since it wasn't a farmer's market, it was a Renaissance festival, then, you know, we have no justification to go in there and do anything. All in all, it's all fine. It's just very complicated and very frustrating when we're trying to figure out, okay, can we sell here or can we not sell here? So it was actually that Renaissance Festival that caused us to go and build the commercial kitchen.
So building the commercial kitchen makes it so you can sell in those type of situations?
Correct. Okay. So, yeah, now I'm fully licensed. I can resell anywhere. You know, I'm in 4 grocery stores and you can go buy our ice cream from those grocery stores right now, which I wouldn't have been able to do if I didn't have the commercial kitchen because it's a dairy product.
So when you hit those obstacles, were you just like frantically, like, I got to search for the answer now of like, so I can sell? I mean,
definitely.
Because I'm sure nobody was straight up giving you the answer, right? You had to dig and search and make your calls.
I mean, the challenge was that I would call one place and they would give me their answer, but it didn't coincide with someone else's answer. And so, like, I'd call the Department of Health. I'd call the Department of Agriculture. I'd call even like a ServSafe, which is, you know, a food handler's class. I'd call them and try to get answers. I'd call grocery stores and try to get answers. And nobody gave me the exact right answer. So I had to like research from all of those sources and come together and get.
And you're probably reaching out to other local Utah businesses were like even remotely, maybe they just sold popsicles and you're like, okay, maybe they can help me out here.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I reached out, you know, there's 2 manufacturers downtown of ice cream and I called them and I was like, you know, how do you do it? And can I come use your kitchen? Because then I discovered that it just needs to be a Department of Ag licensed kitchen. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then I went and talked to various different kitchens. I went to one down, like a commissary kitchen, yeah, where you pay a monthly fee and you show up hourly, you have to pay for it. But then they said you get one shelf on the freezer. And I thought, you know, there's no way I can, you know, manufacture, what is it? You know, I do 18 to 30 batches a week, and each batch is 2.5 gallons. There's no way I can fit, you know, what would that even be? 500 gallons? 50 gallons. I don't know how much it is.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of ice cream. I wouldn't fit that much ice cream into their one tiny shelf. Sure. In a freezer. So just, you know, so that's an obstacle.
And so you, that was when you decided, I'm just going to turn our basement into
that's it. Yeah.
So yeah. Did you already have a kitchen and stuff in your basement?
Oh no, not at all.
You had to do the whole thing.
Well, and then on top of that, we had to figure out if that was even possible. So then I had to talk to the city. I had to talk to the Department of Agriculture and find out, you know, if I were to build a kitchen in my basement, is that even allowed? You know,
cause you're like, I don't want to spend the money this if it's not going
to
work.
Yeah. We had to chip up the concrete floor, put in floor sinks.
No kidding.
Put up new walls.
So a lot of money.
Oh,
You had to spend a lot of money.
It's great now, but yeah, it was a long process.
If you ever go to sell that house, someone who ever buys it's going to be like, right? What is going on down here? You know what I mean?
Well, the good thing is we can just like put carpet down there and pull out the sinks and you won't even know. But yeah, I mean, that was, it's just been obstacle after obstacle trying to get all of this to work.
So when you were facing these obstacles, especially in the beginning here, right? You're selling in Ogden. You're trying to get this going, and then you're told you can't sell.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you lost money there.
Oh yeah.
Right? Like, did you want to quit? Did you want to throw the towel?
Most
people would.
Oh yeah.
Want to quit?
I don't know if it's wanting to quit, but there's many times where I've gone, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, like,
am I stupid for doing this?
Oh, absolutely.
Questioning everything you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that comes up and until there's like $1 million check, that's going to continue to be.
Every day you're going to wonder, why am I doing this entrepreneur thing?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they say, you know, go be an entrepreneur so then you can work for yourself. But then you don't realize that working for yourself is going to take 12 hours a day, 7 days a week until your business really takes off.
Yeah.
You know, but here we are.
So you make ice cream.
I do.
You're making it in your basement. How many different flavors do you probably have? I know we kind of talked about all the bunch of different ones in the beginning, but how many different flavors do you
have? I try to do 8 flavors at a time.
Okay. So,
like 60, 65 different flavors.
So you'll have limited edition flavors and seasonal flavors.
Yeah. I mean, we try
flavors.
To make everything seasonal, okay. Try to make it so it like connects to how people are enjoying their life. You know, we have a strawberry basil, a lavender blueberry, a vanilla bean.
Those are your bases.
Those are the 3 bases. But like we're coming into spring. So I just made 5 spring flavors. I have a brown butter, honey butter with vanilla cookies. I have a rose raspberry, with a chocolate ganache and, you know, so real rose, real raspberry, you know, everything's real that we make. We have a cilantro lime, white chocolate, and, you know, we're steeping the cilantro in the ice cream. You know, we take a giant bag of cilantro and just cook it for 4 hours into the ice cream. And I find that that's what makes our ice cream taste so much different.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just using a one-toned oil that you pour into it. Like if you use a basil oil and pour that into the ice cream, that's fine. But real basil has 3 or 4 flavor notes in it that you're not going to get from that basil oil. And so you're steeping the real thing, the stalks that, you know, all of the basil goes into the ice cream and then we strain it out and make it. And you can really taste those flavors in there. So that's again, what makes our ice cream so unique and different is all of it's real.
Yeah, man, that sounds. Now, is it just you making all the ice cream, or do you have anybody helping you?
My daughter, who's 19, and then my niece, who's also 19. You know, the two of them
are helping.
Yeah, I try to get them on schedules, and then we'll go out and sell in our trailer. We have a little 1968 Trail Boss trailer that we've painted white and gold like our cups. And we'll bring that around and sell from that, as well as sell it in the grocery stores, which we sell from.
Now, you said four, you have it in four stores.
Correct.
Here in Utah. What stores?
So it's their generic names. The Store in Holiday and Salt Lake.
Okay. I know exactly. Okay. I know where that is. And great. I'm sure a lot of our listeners do too.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic store.
Yeah.
Great local stuff. If you need
gifts
for Easter baskets or anything like that, like there's a great place to go pick up those things. And then the market in Park City and the market at Midway.
Okay. Well, those are, so that's three places. You said four places?
No, right? Two. So I keep hitting the microphone.
No, you're good.
So the store in Holiday, the store at Gateway, the market.
Okay. I didn't realize you said the Gateway. I just heard the store in Holiday. So
yeah.
Was it tough getting them in actual retail shops like that?
Oh yeah. I mean, we opened our commercial kitchen August 1st, and I didn't get into a store until mid September. But I was working with them previous to that. So like it took us a month and a half even after our commercial kitchen opened.
Okay.
So yeah, it took some time.
So you attempted it right from the beginning to try to get it into a store. You weren't just selling them at like a farmer's markets.
Right. I mean, like we tried, but yeah, because we weren't in a commercial kitchen, we could not resell. Yeah. Like we had many people that wanted our ice cream, wanted to sell it in their stores or sell it at their restaurants.
Gotcha.
And they couldn't because we, can't resell.
Does anybody sell it in their restaurants?
Alpine Distillery up in Park City.
Yeah.
Had it. We're working on something with
who's
High
up there?
West.
Is that Rob? Rob up there, Alpine.
Yeah, Rob and Sarah.
Yeah, I had Rob on the show. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're fantastic. I knew them from the hotel world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm working with High West to see if I can. We're still in conversations,
yeah.
Just trying to see if we can get into...
Maybe put some booze in that ice cream.
Well, that's exactly... Yeah, to use a... I'd love to use the Alpine Distillery gin and put it with our lavender blueberry. I'd love to use the High West. Any of their great whiskeys. That's what we were just talking about a week and a half ago, was using their whiskey to turn it into a caramel and put it into our ice cream.
So you like to kind of, mix in other good local stuff.
Oh, I would love to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. I love that. So, and then you just do them in like little pints. Do you do like half gallons, gallons too? Just all small?
Yeah.
All
retail, we sell it in pints,
okay.
But we can sell it. We can pack it into a 7 ounce ice cream, as well as we've done custom flavors for weddings. And, you have a bride and groom that they want to come pick their flavors. You kind of build it from the 60 flavors that we've made. So, for example, we had a bride and groom. They did a raspberry with a lime cookie dough. And then the other one was a banana with graham crackers and caramel. And that was the, wife and husband flavor. And we just gave them a 2.5 gallon bucket of each.
Yeah.
And they were able to serve it at their wedding. So, we're able to kind of do some fun and unique things, whether it's flavors, sizes, whatever, since we are the manufacturer and the producer, everything's bottom up. We're creating all of the flavors ourselves. And we're mixing the cream and sugar and everything. So we're not building from a base that we just buy, so that's why, I did a coconut lime mojito and ice cream that we built from a pineapple juice base,
okay,
mixed with heavy cream. And, we had to make that up ourselves, but we're able to kind of build everything from the ground up and just create it as we go.
Now you mentioned you had a trailer, so I'm assuming people could even hire you like for their wedding if you just wanted to come and serve ice cream at their wedding.
Absolutely.
Or maybe people have, I don't
know. We can totally do that. We're mobile.
Yeah.
Our trailer's pretty adorable.
Yeah.
Being that it's a 68, it has those old metal.
I could imagine. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we can show up and be kind of featured the dessert for weddings, outside events, inside events if they can get the trailer in there. You know, we're pretty flexible ourselves.
And I imagine now, since you've worked out all the kinks and stuff like that, are you doing like farmers markets and doing events like that throughout like Salt Lake, Davis County, Utah County? Are you kind of, or maybe even Park City too? Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, we're looking for that for as the summer comes up.
Sure.
We've applied for all of those things, and now it's just a matter of working.
Have you done any previous years or?
No, because we built our commercial kitchen during the summer of last year, perfect time to build a commercial kitchen for an ice cream company, is to take those summer months, those really busy ice cream months, and go build a commercial kitchen. But that, again, going back to the challenges we had, you know, our contractor actually backed out. So I ended up having to, you know, call in the brothers and do the electrical work ourselves and do the plumbing ourselves.
On your commercial kitchen, your contractor backed out.
Yeah.
Like halfway through or something.
Like the day before we were going to build.
So of course, another obstacle for you, right? Why not, Jeff? If everything can, you know,
I mean, it was
wrong, it's going to go wrong.
Right. I mean, I'm a pretty like do it yourself kind of guy.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I'll build the kitchen. And then we just started talking about it. It's like, no, I can't build the kitchen. I need to keep selling ice cream. And then, so that was the plan, was I would just keep making ice cream while someone else built the kitchen. And then contractor backs out, and now I'm doing everything in the kitchen, and I can't do ice cream. So for those 2 months, I wasn't able to sell any ice cream because I was stuck in the kitchen the whole
time. So why didn't you just go find another contractor?
Because it was...
It's not that easy, I guess.
Right. I mean, I knew we needed to get it done.
Yeah.
And my thought was, it's going to take just as much time to build it as it would to find another person to build it. And so I just did
it. You said screw it, and you went to town and did it. And so now here you are. And so, yeah, absolutely. I would definitely, I mean, the downtown farmers market, the downtown Salt Lake is... I mean, that's really where this podcast was even born. Was at that market. You know, I used to live right across the street from there actually years and years ago. And I used to go there, every Saturday and I was wanting to do a podcast, and I was like, man, there are so many awesome people here.
Yeah.
What if I just started collecting their stories? So that would be a perfect place for you.
Oh, would love it.
And you know that already.
We've applied I'm asking them, you know, I do know D Brewer who's connected to the Downtown Alliance. But if anybody
has any,
if anybody can connect me, I would be happy to.
Well, and there's so many markets nowadays, in Utah that you could stay busy. There was a time when there really wasn't a huge selection. There was maybe only the, you know, the downtown Salt Lake farmers market, but now there's so many.
Right.
And then during the week, you have different farmers markets that you could jump on. Then you have the different street fairs and the different festivals. And,
oh, totally.
You know the drill. Is ice cream a tough, like, I mean, obviously, I guess it melts, right? So you have to have refrigeration. Like, is that really the only tough part about it? Like, well, I'm trying to figure out how to word this here, Jeff, because this isn't coming out, but ice cream, like, it's not, well, I guess it is perishable. So like, I mean, are you throwing it out? I mean, are you losing a lot of ice cream? Is it a tough product to sell? Not to sell, but like just because of its fragileness of it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, the thaw-free cycle.
Yeah.
If you go through a thaw-free cycle of the ice cream, then it crystallizes. It's no good.
Yeah, sure.
Especially if we're selling it super premium, you know, people aren't going to want to buy any ice cream that's thawed at any point.
Okay.
You know.
So you're having to like deep freeze it and get dry ice probably.
Well, I have freezers that sit in the back of my truck that I have a battery that they plug in. So
you've had to invest in some really nice freezers there too.
Yeah. I mean, I have 6 freezers that I bought from Costco that are just there to move ice cream back and forth, you know? So like I get an order up to the market in Midway. I fill up those 2 freezers, drive up to Midway, and you know, that's all the ice cream. It's a carries 196 pints in those two freezers. But that's all, you know, and yeah, had to invest in all of that kind of infrastructure to deliver the ice cream to the end user.
And you had to invest in all of this pretty much right in the beginning.
Oh yeah.
Like it wasn't like, you know how some people, like I'll even use this podcast, for example, right? Like where it was like, well, I'll just buy one microphone, see if I like it, yeah. See if I want to continue doing a podcast. And then if I want to buy more microphones, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that with your ice cream business. You couldn't just be like, well, I'm just going to buy one freezer and I'll have a, you know, I don't even know what were those little electric buckets that we used to make ice cream.
Oh, back right.
In the day,
yeah.
The ice cream maker. Yeah. I couldn't just buy one of those and maybe make a few pints and set up a card table at the downtown. I mean, you had to invest money.
Yeah.
So you didn't even know if you would like it. You didn't even know.
That's a very good point. Yeah. I mean, I had to buy the ice cream maker. I mean,
yeah.
That's a $20,000 piece of equipment right from the get go.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm saying, Jeff. You just went all in.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, let me sit down everybody that I love and be like, listen to me, guys. You remember that ice cream I made 6 months ago? What if I made that all the time?
Yeah.
And we all just loved that all the time. It was a hefty investment just from the get-go, for sure.
So where do you want to see this in the next 5 years, man?
I mean, I would love our ice cream to be sitting at the table when, you know, you're having your special events.
Yeah.
In at least the Western United States. I don't know if we'd go much bigger than that. I would love to be in a lot of grocery stores and then at that point have our own store where you can come buy direct from us.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, there's, you know.
Is that exciting or is that overwhelming to you?
Oh, no, that part's exciting.
Okay.
The overwhelming is what I need to do tomorrow. It's the 5 years is like, okay, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, just getting into more grocery stores tomorrow is the uphill battle.
See, so you're trying to, you got to make it, plus you got to sell it, plus you got to get it into more grocery stores. So you have a pretty busy day to day as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And then making the new flavors, like that's a day in itself. Like basically I just clear out the kitchen and I make our new flavors and, you know, turn on some music and just crank it out. And because to make those new flavors, there's three steps that can change the flavor of what I'm making.
Yeah.
So I put it together. You blend all the ingredients, but then you have to cook that into, you know, we use a sous vide, which is French for underwater. We put all of our ice cream into that sous vide. It cooks for 3 hours. That's where we steep all of our, you know, herbs and really infuse the flavors. So I can have an idea for an ice cream, and before it goes into the sous vide, it tastes fine. After it comes out of the sous vide, it tastes fine. And then I churn it. And because when you churn it, when ice cream is frozen, the flavors are less robust.
Mm.
So you could have a flavor that you think is amazing. You know, I did a cherry almond vanilla that it took 4 iterations to get it to work. And I had to do a bourbon cherry and turn it into a cherry jam to make it so the flavor would actually come out once frozen. But I didn't know that until the ice cream was made the first time. So then I had to do research on, you know, why is it that cherry doesn't have as much flavor as strawberry when put into an ice cream? So, you know, I love this, you know.
You're like a scientist.
Oh, totally. Like I'm reading the books and trying to understand why cherry doesn't have a good frozen flavor. And, you know, once I find out that it's due to the fibrous content and the juice and all this, then I'm able to make it actually work. So it's a lot of fun when I get things to come together.
I was going to say, I've had like black cherry ice cream and that's tasted good. Or,
right.
You know, trying to remember the last time I had a cherry ice cream, you know, but,
I mean, cherries are always on top of banana splits, but those are, you know, a maraschino cherry.
Yeah, those are the, you know, the canned cherry.
Right? Yeah. No, so just, I thought it would work because, yeah, I've had black cherry ice cream and thought it would just come together, and it doesn't. So
have you been able to figure it out then?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh,
okay, I didn't know if you're still working on that.
No, I got it worked out. I have a bourbon cherry almond coming out for spring, and it is delightful. Like, it's one of my favorite ice creams that I've been able to put together. And I think the more work I put into a flavor, the more excited I am when it comes together. For sure. I mean, that's how we are with most things, right?
What about like ice cream sandwiches and stuff like that? Have you ever thought about like making some of those?
I have. I mean, it's I love the idea.
Just a couple cookie pieces, really. It's right? All you need to put it in between, right?
Right. But then it's a matter of like, I want everything to be at the high quality. So I'd have to figure out how to make freezable cookies that I'm happy with. You know, so we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll definitely get there, but it'll take some time.
What is your favorite flavor? I know I keep talking about your flavors, but right? What is your favorite flavor?
I mean, the one I kept going back to was our maple buttermilk cookies and cream.
Is that your favorite?
So I love them all. It's like asking what's your favorite child, you know, since they're my own recipes.
Well, yes and no.
Yeah, there, I mean.
But I mean, right. Well, what's your favorite? Maybe not your ice cream, but what's your favorite ice cream then? I mean.
Oh, definitely it would be my ice cream. The maple buttermilk cookies and cream is one that, like, I find myself just continuously enjoying.
Okay.
And if anybody needs that, it is right now for sale at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Salt Lake. So they commissioned us for three flavors, and our most popular flavor is lavender blueberry, but our second was cinnamon churro. And so the Hyatt Regency has our cinnamon churro, our maple buttermilk cookies and cream, and lavender.
So wait, the hotel sale? Yeah. So like in their gift shop or something?
Yeah, they have a market right when you walk in, and so they sell our ice cream there.
Okay, so that's another spot you could buy your ice cream.
Oh, totally.
Jeff. So I guess there's actually a few more places.
Yeah, there are. I mean, there's some smaller places like Higher Ground Coffee on 3300 South. A great little coffee shop, and they have a little freezer next to their checkout that you can get some ice cream from us as well. So, yeah, we're dotted around, but the main spots are those grocery stores.
What about like shipping it? Like people out of state, like cause you know, you could ship it in like a dry ice type.
We have,
box or something.
Right? We had a group that wanted our ice cream because they had our ice cream last year.
Yeah.
And they loved it so much that they said they've been thinking about it for a year. Can you ship it to us?
Stop thinking about it, Jeff.
That's it. Yeah. So we sent out a box of 6 pints, and you know, there are places that ship ice cream, and we don't have a dry ice machine.
Yeah.
So we have to go buy the dry ice, and we have to, like, it's expensive.
Oh, sure,
but
sure.
But
if they're willing to pay for it, then you'll do it, what you're saying.
To get those 6 pints to Kentucky, it cost $150.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a what is that keto ice cream I used to buy? It doesn't matter, but I used to get it shipped in because I couldn't find it in Harmon's.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this was years ago. And I didn't know about your ice cream.
Well, it's not keto friendly right now.
But I remember getting it shipped, and it wasn't cheap, but it was kind of one of those things. It was like, hey, this is what I want to do. So I'm sure it would be the same thing with your, you know, your situation. Like, obviously, it's not something somebody would do every day or every week.
Right.
But, you know, maybe they tried it, and they just really want it for their birthday or for a special occasion, you know?
So. Well, I mean, it is fun being open a year now.
Yeah.
We've had a bunch of guests that had our ice cream last year while they came out to go skiing or whatever, and they were coming back to go skiing, and they send me a message, and they're like, where are you going to be? I'm coming skiing, but I'm most excited about having your ice cream again, which is fun.
I could imagine. There's something... It would be nerve-wracking to watch somebody eat my food, but then also exciting because I'd be like, oh, man, are they going to say something negative? Now, what do you – okay, now that you've done this for a little while, now that you have a little bit of time behind your under your belt and behind you and all that, what do you know now that you wished you would have known in the very beginning when all of this started?
It's a great question. I mean, I think it's all of the little things that made it, that makes my life easier today.
Yeah.
I wish I would have known that beginning, you know, get a label maker, connect with, these certain people, you know, don't try to go it alone. You know, make sure you're connecting with others in the business industry. You're not just, you know, showing up to a Smith store and trying to sell ice cream just yourself, you know, like it's amazing how connected we all are. And I'm happy to be where we are now.
I, and
if that makes sense.
And I'm sure that's a tough question to answer, because you're like, well, shoot, if I knew everything I knew now in the
beginning, it would have been a completely different thing.
But it was also those steps and those experiences, I'm sure, along the way that helped get your business to where you're at
today. Oh, yeah.
Now, did you do like a business mentor or any, I mean, did you, or any kind of guidance? I mean, or how did you know these steps to take? You're talking about the right people to be around, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a business mentor.
Would you recommend somebody to have a business mentor?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, like a mentor is always a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, like if someone can just kind of take you by the hand and go, here, do this, then by all means, that would be great. But I don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
It seems like you're doing all right. It seems like, I mean, granted, I don't know. I mean, I just know you based off of what you're saying, but it seems like, I mean, you've gotten the ball going a little bit. You've got your product in some stores.
Yeah.
I mean, spring is right around the corner.
Right.
It seems like you're positioning yourself for an amazing 2024.
That's the hope and plan, definitely.
And now that you're on this podcast, I mean, there's going to be, everybody's going to be lining up now. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, I want that ice cream.
I hope so. I mean, everybody who has our ice cream, like, falls in love with our ice cream.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, we have, you know, right now 900 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
And every single one of them have had our ice cream. And they have a favorite flavor. They, you know, they're pestering me in a loving way. Like, when are you going to bring this flavor back? You know, when can we see this come again?
That's probably kind of nice, you know, there's something flattering probably that somebody even desires something you make.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, like the first time I was selling ice cream and people were eating it, I was very nervous watching them eat my ice cream. And then, like, I started to have more confidence about, like, no, this ice cream is amazing. So they're going to love it. And, you know, I've only had a handful of people that are like, that's not for me, you know, and that's fine. You know, our ice cream is different. You know, you're not going to have traditional vanilla chocolate, you know. And like I was saying earlier, we didn't even make a vanilla for the longest time. We have a vanilla bean, and it's amazing vanilla ice cream. And there's salt in it. You know, you taste all of these flavors. So it's not generic ice cream. And so people that want generic ice cream don't like our ice cream, and that's fine.
You know, one thing I like to do on the podcast here, Jeff, when I bring people through is, like, obviously talk about their business and whatnot, but I like my listeners to get a little bit about, like, who's Jeff, right? Like, let's get a little bit of the real side of Jeff. Like, what do you like to do when you're not making ice cream, man? Or is that, I mean, you're just like, that's all I'm doing these days, Chris.
Yeah, since October 22. That's all I've been doing. I talked to my kids about that. Like, you know, I haven't had a vacation in a year and a half because all I'm doing is ice cream. But it's fun.
Where would you go on vacation if you could go on a vacation?
Oh, I'd go anywhere that I love international. I love local. I love camping. I love hiking.
Whatever. Just you know, something just, maybe off the computer, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Something that I'm forced to be disconnected to the world.
Yeah.
That would be lovely. But yeah, I love to create experience. In the next couple months, I need to repair a fence that I'm actually looking forward to. So, you know,
there you go.
Right. Like
Because you mentioned that even in this interview, like, you like to get in there and make stuff with your hands.
Oh,
like,
totally.
even when your contractor bailed on you, you know, in your commercial kitchen, you were like, oh, I'm going to, you know, just get in there and do it. See, like me, I'm not that type of person. Like, it wouldn't even, like my, I have an older brother that's just like you are.
Yeah.
Oh, let's just get in and fix it and do it ourselves. Like, that wouldn't even cross my mind. Because that's just not the type of person I am.
Right.
But everybody's different. So, you know, I mean, you enjoy working with your hands and building stuff and creating stuff.
Well, and it definitely came out of necessity over the years. Like, we wanted something and nobody could produce that for us, so we just produced it ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I built a window bench in my house because I wanted to see out the window. You know, like, it's just... necessity is the mother of invention.
And then I have some standard, like, Salt Lake City related questions that I ask everybody that comes through the show here, Jeff. So of course I got to ask you.
Of course.
We have family and friends that visit us, right? They come in to, you know, from out of state, maybe New York, California, Florida, wherever. They fly into town, let's say even this weekend right now. And they're like, give me the tour, Jeff. Show me around. Show me your favorite stuff in Utah. I mean, you've had those people, right?
Oh, like, yes.
Let's get in the car and go.
Yeah.
Where do you take them? Where do you show them? You know, what? I mean, I've had people, you know, the downtown temple. I've had people say Park City. I've had, you know, even you know, the Great Salt Lake. I don't know. Where do you like to show off?
I would say I would take people on a food tour.
Okay. Like, I like that. Yeah.
You know, like, I've had the question for many years, people ask me, you know, what is unique in Salt Lake food-wise?
And fry sauce.
Right? Sauce. Yeah, fry sauce is it. Fry sauce and Jello.
But even Jello, we don't even, like, where do you go get some good Jello?
Right?
I mean,
yeah.
Chuck-O-Rama? I mean, Chuck-O-Rama's not even around anymore, right? Like, or maybe they are.
No, they, I don't know. 123rd has a Chuck-O-Rama.
Chuck-O-Rama, do they? Okay.
But no, I would take people, you know, go to Caputo's and go get some meat and cheese. You can get some local meat and cheese.
Gotta go to Caputo's.
Yeah, right? Like, let's put a board together and now we can continue our food tour. And then I'd go, so Proper Burger on 8th has fried funeral potatoes. So that's a Utah food. Funeral potatoes are, you know, the wonderful taste of... fat on top of fat with cheese in the middle with potatoes is just amazing. I love funeral potatoes.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'd go swing by and get some funeral potatoes from Proper Burger. And then, like, there's some great distilleries and great breweries downtown. So, you know, trying to just find what local food really is, that's where I'd take people.
I love it. I love it. What about, what are your thoughts on all the growth in Utah, man? Like, especially over the last couple of years. I mean, you know, we've talked about COVID a couple of times, you know, about COVID, even your business. But that's really, I think, when the big influx of people that I think came to Utah. I mean, it's obviously been growing over the last few years.
Oh, but sure.
Last few years, especially, it's just gone crazy.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on all that growth, man? Some people are really ticked off about it.
I'm neither here nor there, you know, it's just kind of, it's natural growth for the city. So I don't really have an opinion one way or the other, but what I'm excited about is, it goes back to that food scene, is you need a lot of people to have good quality food, you know, because typically you just have chain restaurants in smaller communities, but when you're having a larger influx of people, you get more creativity coming in the culinary scene.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Plus, just a lot more diversity, a lot more things going on. I mean, we can go back to, you know, even 10 years ago. We can go back to, you know, 2010, 2012 when I started this podcast. And, you know, I think about events that were going on, for example, and at least from my perception, I might be completely wrong about this, but it seemed like there was like one event going on in Salt Lake on a Saturday. Now there's like 50 events going on.
Right.
You know, but there's enough people to pull to all the different uniqueness of these different events. I don't know if you understand.
Totally.
Hopefully, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, you have stuff going on
there's
Ogden,
just a lot more to pick from in Utah
absolutely.
Now with more people here.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, if there was already one concert going on, you know, like, gosh, you couldn't, you know, they, you know, you couldn't try to have another event because everybody would be at that, you know, one concert, you know, at the Delta Center or whatever, you know. But I think the growth is good. I think it's also, you know, of course, is a pain. You know, traffic's always a pain, you know, to get stuck in traffic.
Parking downtown.
Parking downtown is the worst. it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
It's gotten a lot worse, especially over the last few years. When I used to live downtown Salt Lake, and I'd hear people complain about it. I'd be like, oh, what are you talking about? There's plenty. And now the problem is everywhere downtown, at least that I've discovered, you know, charges, and it's not just a couple of bucks anymore to pay. It's like, you know, it's big city parking now. So, hey, you know, Salt Lake City is growing up.
Right.
Our little city.
Take public transit downtown.
Yeah.
If that worked.
And even that could be a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion.
Agreed.
But
with more people comes hopefully better infrastructure there.
What would you change about Utah if you could change something? And I know that's a big question, Jeff. And take that interpretation however you want to interpret it, whether it's something realistic or non-realistic.
Well, I mean, something I've been trying to change for the last 20 years is the liquor laws.
Amen. We all have been, man.
Yeah. No, I've been in some fights with the legislature regarding our liquor laws, because I was in hotels before.
Oh, so you actually get in there and you're really fighting for the liquor laws.
I really did fight, and I've since given up that fight. But
they've come a long ways, though.
We always joked in our little group was we want Salt Lake to be like Boise as it relates to liquor laws. We don't want to be New Orleans. We don't want to be California. We just want to be Boise.
What are Boise liquor laws, I guess, compared to, like, what do they
do? Like, they're normal.
Well, yeah. Well, so are other states. So you're saying you didn't want to be New Orleans?
Well, the legislature was very set on, you know, our liquor laws are solid because we're saving the community. You know, we are doing so much with our liquor laws that it's beneficial.
Yeah.
And when you're able to say, well, we actually have very similar DUI numbers and very similar alcohol-related incidents as Boise. So when you can compare what they're fighting for to Boise, I mean, if you compare those numbers to New Orleans, it's a completely different set of numbers. But when you say we have this very similar DUI laws, I mean, DUI numbers as Boise, but Boise, you can buy wine in a liquor store. Boise, you can carry your drink from the bar to your table.
Yeah.
You know, there's just these little nuances that just make, you know, I was in tourism and it's hard to sell people on come to Salt Lake when they want to have fun at their convention, but the liquor laws are perceived as still being bad. They have changed a lot and they have come a long way. But they are perceived as being a little,
you know, it's actually interesting you say that, Jeff, because I was actually going to ask you that. I was wondering if, since you were in the hotel industry, if you did run into quite a few people that are like, I don't know, Utah's sounding pretty lame right now. I think I'll go over to Colorado.
Yeah.
Did you run into that? Like, did you, were there people that literally still, I mean, to me, maybe just because I'm used to our liquor laws, but you still get people that choose not to come here. Huh?
Oh, I mean, so I was a member of the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Yeah.
So I saw the large conventions that we were constantly trying to convince them, no, you can get a drink, you know? So you'd bring in the small groups to try and convince them that, no, it's okay to come to Utah. It's not scary. You know, it's not weird. And so once you convince them, now you have to convince a whole convention that, you know, they're paying their own money. Now they have to pay money to come to Salt Lake, you know, and if you're a conventioneer and you're like, should I go to this convention this year? Should I come back next year when they're in Vegas? Which one sounds more fun? Well, okay, they're going to Vegas. So yeah, it was a constant uphill battle of perception that Salt Lake is a dud.
Interesting. Interesting.
But, I mean, it's not. I mean, I love Salt Lake. It has this great vibrancy.
You and I know this.
Right. Exactly.
You and I know this.
Exactly.
But, and now I'm curious with us possibly getting a Major League Baseball team and NHL hockey team. Could that help turn anything with the liquor laws? Maybe there, maybe not. I mean, granted, we have NBA, we have the Jazz, and did that do anything with the liquor laws? No.
Right. I mean, the Olympics actually had the biggest change in the liquor laws.
Did they?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's when the membership, you know, you had to be
Oh, that's right. I remember those days. I remember those days.
All of that changed because of a big push right before the Olympics.
The interesting thing about that, though, there's a lot of loopholes that, I mean, even back in the day, I used to be a heavy smoker, for example, and because of that membership, it allowed us to still smoke in the bars back in those days, even though other states were banning it left and right. Here we were in Utah, still chain smoking like no tomorrow in the bars, but we were able to do it because of that membership.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would... That's a soapbox for another podcast.
Yeah, where did this podcast go? We're here to talk about ice cream.
But I love like the history of Utah liquor laws and the quirkiness of how it all came about.
Bizarre.
I mean, we had the most whiskey distilleries per capita at one point in the nation. You know, Mark Twain calling us Valley Tan because of how much whiskey was being distilled here. Like, all of that's so fascinating to me. There's a lot of protections that need to go away. There's in order for us to just be a normal city, as it were.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
We'll get there.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think give it a couple more years. I don't know. Utah, there's a lot. I mean, we were talking about this before we started recording about even the differences in Utah County and now and Salt Lake County. Like,
yeah.
Utah's a different world in just people that aren't, you know, they're moving here that aren't, you know, they're not religious. So they're not, you know, obviously Mormon. So, you know, I got to reiterate that, you know, props to my Mormon listeners. I love you guys, you know, but hey, there's a lot of non-Mormons that live here now.
Right.
And a lot that are moving here. And I think it's great because it brings diversity to the state and brings differentness and uniqueness and different thoughts and different points of view. And I think Utah's heading in the right direction. And I actually love living here. I mean, you guys all know that. I mean, come on, I do a podcast about this stupid state, but come on guys, you know that I love it here.
Yeah.
But it's actually a cool place now.
Yeah.
And there was a time when I was like, I got to get out of Utah. I hate it here. I hate it here. And then we got cool people like you making ice cream. Let's circle back to your ice cream.
Certainly.
Here. Let's circle back before we completely run out of time here. So you're making ice cream, Hidden Oak Gourmet Creamery. What's all the websites, all that good stuff for people to connect with you here?
Best way to connect with us is on social media. You can find us at Gourmet Creamery on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We're all on all of those. We're just at Gourmet Creamery.
Well, I got to check you out on TikTok.
Yeah, right.
Little videos and stuff.
Yeah, we try to do. We have, you know,
a couple of videos,
5 or 10 videos.
Okay.
You know, it's again, it goes back to it's all me.
Social media is hard, man.
You know, if anybody wants to volunteer to do social media, I'll give you a pint of ice cream. You know, come to our social media. It's very difficult.
Yeah,
and that's one of the challenges I have is, you know, trying to get every day posting something.
But it's probably important for a business like yours to have a really good social media presence.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you find out where our trailer's going to be. That's where you find out what flavors we have, you know, all on the social media.
Okay. So it's just Hidden Oak Gourmet Creamery on all the channels.
Just Gourmet Creamery.
Gourmet Creamery.
Yeah. We wanted something simple. So just Gourmet Creamery, but you can search Hidden Oak Gourmet Creamery as well.
And then if they wanted to reach out to you, would they reach out to you through one of those platforms maybe?
Or my cell phone, 801-597-9244. Hit me up.
So if they're your local business, maybe someone's listening and they got a shop or something that they could put some ice cream in.
Yeah, if anybody wants to sell our ice cream, you know, resell our ice cream, reach out. I'd be happy to work that out with you. You know, we give a wholesale discount, So, you know, you're able to resell it and make some money as well. And it's best ice cream.
Anything coming up that you want to promote? I mean, this episode will be up this Thursday, so it's going to be up pretty quick here. So if there's anything, any events or anything, probably not, I guess.
No events coming up, but we have our spring flavors coming out. So
keep an eye on those.
Yeah. They'll be hitting the stores, this week. So, you know, if you need something for Easter, that's definitely,
I know Easter's coming up. It's hard to think about that already. Oh my gosh, Jeff, what is going on? Spring is, this winter, I think, is going to be behind us. Thank goodness. I'm ready for some warmer days, but
I agree. Yeah. I want to move from ice cream is good all year. And right now we're in a la mode season.
Yeah.
Where you eat your ice cream with your brownies and stuff. And we're soon going to be moving into cone season. So you can eat the ice cream by itself in a cone. It's always ice cream season, but it's just how you eat that ice cream.
It's always ice cream season.
Absolutely.
I actually always loved eating ice cream more in the colder months for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's just something that makes you want ice cream when it's cold outside.
Right? Because you're probably having a brownie and you need some ice cream with it.
Yeah, so. Well, I'm so glad that we got you through the podcast here, Jeff. I'm glad that you know, you were able to come and sit down and chat with me and share with my listeners about your business and your ice cream. Is there anything that you were hoping that we would talk about? Why the recorder's going? Why we're still sitting here?
No, I would say, you know, just our ice cream is different. It's super premium, homemade, and knowing that it's different is what makes us so unique. And
at least try you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted people to know that. That's what we're after.
Give it a try.
Definitely.
Taste it. What's the worst that's going to happen? Right.
Right? You're going to get a smile because you're eating ice cream.
Yeah. I mean, and then let Jeff know, say, hey, I listened to you on Let's Talk Local. I love your ice cream now. You got a customer for life. You know, that's what I tell people. That's why I started this podcast, is let's all connect.
I love it.
I mean, there's no reason not to.
Yeah.
We're still a small enough city. We used to be a lot smaller, I know. But anyway, thank you so much, Jeff. And I tell people, let's catch up down the road. You know, let's a year or so down the road, let's see where business is.
That would be great.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, 1 second. I just need to get about 5 seconds of... background noise here for the recording. Hang tight.